Hey, and welcome to another exciting episode of At Your Features Podcast. Today we have another short. Yes, people, shorts, because that's all I have time for. Shutter the Doors is the name of the short. It was brought to us by the First Class Film Festival. Thank you. We have a writer-director, Sherry Sussman, in the house. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So, you're writing a short. I mean, about a bar. I mean, I'm giving everything away, I'm sure. How do you get in that mindset? I need to write about a bar. Usually it's more conflict. I mean, obviously you have conflict in your short, but let's get right to the story. Where does this process start? Why a bar?
The truth is, it was February 2021. I really hadn't written the whole year because of the pandemic. I was just trying to keep all the balls in the air like everybody else. And, you know, as a writer, I've always written, whether it was a writing gig or basically just to keep my sanity. I just have always been writing, and it's sort of my safe place to go. I think all, you know, creatives, it's just like grounded me. And one night I just said, I'm just going to write something. I had no intention of shooting it. So I've known Ian Buchanan for a while, and I've worked with him a few times. I'm really fortunate. He's such a dear guy and such a talented actor. I told him, I have a scene in my head of you sitting at a bar. So that's a great question. With a glass of whiskey. I have no idea why. I don't have a story. You're just there. Something's broken. Something's wrong. And someday I'm going to write this. So that's why I wrote the bar. I literally sat down and go, you know what? I'm going to write that thing I've had for years of Ian sitting at a bar with a glass of whiskey, a glass of scotch. And that was it.
That's cool. Now, I want to start off. You have one of the most beautiful looking bars I've ever seen. So I want to know where this bar is so people can go, because it is beautiful.
It is. So the bar is called The Mint LA. It's a legendary bar. The Mint was a place where all the acts would come. I mean, to get discovered, all the musical acts, all the legendary rockers would show up. It still is. It's been, I used to go there 20 years ago. I dated myself, but The Mint is just a beautiful place. And I was looking for any bar. Nobody was open. And I was like, oh my God, The Mint. And I called, and they hadn't been open all year. So it was perfect. And they were so nice. And Justin Janowitz, my DP, and Justin Garcia, his gaffer, just lit it so beautifully. And they had actually always been there. I mean, Justin said he was in a band. He used to play there. So it turned out almost everybody in our crew and our cast had hung out at The Mint at one time. So it's a pretty legendary, you know, music club in LA. So it was perfect.
Hold on. We got to back. Has Ian been to The Mint before?
Yes.
Okay, good. So it must have been like old home week shooting there. You guys were, I mean, quiet, obviously. You weren't ordering drinks, but it was nice. You're relaxed. How does that feel? Like, usually when you go to a shoot, I guess you got butterflies, you don't know what's going on, but now you're going to a safe place for you.
It was actually really that, because nothing had been open yet, and they literally opened 3 weeks after we shot it, and they were so kind. The owner gave it to us for just a really nice, you know, fee for the day, and the manager, and we just had, I think, 12 people on our crew, including cast, because of COVID. It was the first time most of us had even been out. And so we were really conscious of having people that had been safe, that were good friends and colleagues, that were trusted. And it was just one beautiful day. And I had written it and not knowing we were going to shoot at The Mint. I thought it would be like a Sam Cheers bar. And as I was looking for places, I saw The Mint, which actually added to Ian's character, because the place was where people, you know, their dreams had come true. It was more than just a bar. And that came after I had written it.
So while you're writing this, do you have an idea as to the music? Because I find your music sets the stage for this so well. Now, I know as a writer, you're writing, you're thinking of dialogue, you're revising. But do you have music ever playing in your head at the same time?
I did. I actually was playing a song by an artist, Lee DeWise. I had run across him through people I had worked with on previous shorts and just came across a song I kept playing over and over in my head. And then I had the song Hallelujah, a cappella version for the end that I always plan to use. So I use that as for pacing, and I even played it for my DP for Justin so that the shots would actually be paced to the music. The song at the end, as I was in post, I just started doing the sound design with Andy Cantos, who is just a brilliant sound designer. He used to work at Paramount. We've done like numerous films together for 15 years. The sound came after. I called Ian, or I emailed him and said, what kind of music would Sam be playing? And he was like, Sinatra, you know, on his, and the basically it was like, let's not have any music. And then Ian came up with the song at the end. He said one for, not to give it away, but to give it away, one for the road, and I'll sing it. And I'm like, done. And that was it.
I don't think you're giving it away. Your short is called Shutter the Doors. I mean, it kind of gives you an idea of what might be happening, but.
Exactly.
I did watch the short twice, and you can tell me if I missed something. Do we really know what happens here?
No. We just know. We know that it was. It says, you know, in our log line, a moment in time, and that's really all it was. It was never meant to be anything more than that. I thought it was a bit of a collective consciousness of everything I was feeling. I started with Ian at the bar. I've been friends and work with Billy Worth for years. I've always wanted to write something for him and direct him. And these two guys were friends of mine that during the pandemic I would call and they'd be the ones going, it's okay, everything will be okay. You know, they're the all is well guys that are comforting. And I thought we all have that. And so the film just came really from just my emotion and thoughts at the time of everything that was going on. And it could be any time and it could be any situation. I think it's more about a loss of identity when something pulls the rug out from under your life. It could be anything. Your identity is attached always to something or someone. And that's really what I wanted to capture, is the loss of, you know, who am I now and what am I going to do? And I thought that was a feeling everybody I talked to was going through, you know, February 2021, like, oh, it's, you know, things will get better, but they're not getting better. And it was so surreal.
I did have some ideas running through my head while watching this, and maybe some viewers will. So people, this is not the real ending. This is my interpretation of what the ending could have been. So I'm going to throw this out. I thought at one point it might have been a dream. Like, I don't know if you were going for that, but I'm like, and the end was just going to show up and you were going to trick me somehow at the end.
I know. And it occurred to me because I've done a lot of shorts and I actually judged the Page Awards. I judged short scripts for 10 years. So I literally read thousands and I'm a huge fan of short films. And I thought this one, I didn't want to do that. I was like, it was going to work as it was. And my motto on this, from writing it to really till we finished everything, was less is more, and strip away as much as I can. And that came through with the performances, with the actors, just let it just be what it is and see if it works. That's what I was really thinking.
Yeah, you have stripped down the set, I would say. And I want to know, did you strip down your pacing? Because, I mean, everything is very, it seems very pleasant. And they're just drinking, talking, and that's it.
Yes, even in editing, like we just let the actors breathe. And Scott Harvey, I like to give credit where credit's due, as my editor. He's a veteran editor also. I'm really fortunate. He was at Paramount. He worked on everything from NCIS New Orleans with an editor, Augie Hess, that I've worked with on most of my films also. And those guys are just great comfort and support for everything I do. And I said to Scott, is it too much? You know, is it too slow or this? But really, it was letting the actors just act and capturing the moments when they weren't speaking. And I thought they both gave such beautiful performances. I just wanted to keep it on them. I didn't do inserts purposely. I didn't do cutaways. The cutaways were the other actors, if whoever was in the moment visually. And I thought they both were. So, yes, the pacing was purposely exactly like the way it was intended to be. I thought that was about time, too. We felt like we were frozen in time, right? I mean, felt like time just stopped last year and passed, you know, during the pandemic. Like, I think just, and that's kind of what we were trying to put the paper.
I found when the two actors were talking, you even have like breathing space. Like, I could even count to the next thing. Like, they weren't like thinking about their lines. They were really thinking about emotion in their head and how were their characters react to this. Like, they're pondering past thoughts, future emotions. Was that in the script, or is that just what the actors were bringing to the table?
It was in the script, and then we had done a Zoom rehearsal that I actually, to be quite honest, I had a different tempo for Billy. I thought he would be more energetic and more, actually more quick-paced than Ian. And Billy just went that way. And I thought, okay, that's where he's comfortable. And I felt directing with these two, and they're such great actors, that wherever they felt comfortable in the moment was what it was meant to be. And not to sound like pretentious that I'm so artsy, but I knew that I could direct them like maybe a little less, a little more, or with tone. But I felt like when Billy and I discussed, when he started doing it slower paced, which is a great question about the pacing, that I thought he said that's where he's comfortable. And I said, that's what it's meant to be then. And I thought it actually worked. And then a lot was in editing where we took spaces, you know, on even pulling cuts, you know, from different takes to give reactions and that. But it was a very simple script. It was very stripped down, and it wasn't long at all. It was 8 pages. And I think Ian did this incredible rehearsal on Zoom, and I honestly just didn't tell him anything after that because I didn't want to give him too much information. What he did was just so perfect and tone-wise, and I knew wherever he went, that was his business. And then when we got on set, and we had talked through things before, but Ian, just the first Zoom rehearsal with he and Billy was, I thought, was magic. And I was like, I don't want to mess with what he did. And I just let him alone. He didn't ask me anything. And I was like, okay. And I wrote it and we shot it 3 weeks later.
So earlier in the interview, we were discussing music, and I don't think we ever talked about who did the music. You discussed the song, but you didn't tell me who did it.
Right. So the music, my composer is Dave Egger, and he worked with Phil Fulcanti, and they're just world-class musicians. And I was super lucky. He'd done another film that I had worked on. And I actually was talking to Dave the whole time. He was my music supervisor. And as simple and sparse as the music is, it was so important for it to be perfect for the tone and the feel and really setting up the style of the film, which was minimalist. So we started out with way more music, like ideas. And like I said, it was supposed to be the song Hallelujah at the end. And then Ian came up with the idea, one for my baby, one for the road. And he recorded that a cappella, sent it to Dave, who's in Nashville. And Dave actually put the piano track to Ian's vocal. So I thought it was brilliant because Ian, we wanted him to do it just, you know, totally raw, as if he was sitting at the piano, you know, after hours and singing. And then Phil Fulcanti played that beautiful guitar and work with Dave. And we just kept stripping it down. The whole film was initially going to be scored or with, you know, source music that was playing in the bar. And little by little, between my sound guy, Andy Cantos, and Dave and Phil, we just all kept stripping away the sound and the music. So it all worked together.
Okay. I do have some questions about the dialogue. And you can tell me. At one point, they bring up the sea. Did you think anybody really went to the sea, or did you go to the sea, or how does that work into this? Or is this one of these metaphors?
No, that was Billy. Billy actually did that. That's a true story. And I know him we're friends for 25 years. We've worked on, numerous projects in his feature and another short we did. And Billy and I are just like best friends. And he always tells these great stories that sound made up, but they're true. And he has these great adventures. And I had a space there for him to kind of just improv. And I said, Billy, this is where you tell one of your great stories. And it just needs to be about acceptance. That's what the story was. And he literally on the phone started telling me this whole story. And I was like, wait, write it down. And he just wrote a train of thought of that Baltic Sea story. And it was a true story from Billy. And then I just edited it and made, turned it into a dialogue.
This is my last question about dialogue, just so everybody knows, because I'm just fascinated by things.
Oh, cool.
We listen to Sam talk. We listen to Billy talk. And I've always thought at the end of the dialogue, how am I supposed to feel? Do I feel things are going to get better for Sam? Because I feel things are pretty good for Billy when he walks out. He's like, whatever, things happen. I'm going to get over this. Will things get better? The dialogue, again, doesn't help me with this. Or maybe these are questions as a writer you want to give me to think about when I leave.
That's exactly what it was. It was, like I said, there was nothing trying to be contrived or trickery. It was really what I did when I sat down and just wrote, Ian sitting at a bar with a scotch at that moment. For me, I was really just trying to put, as a writer, what I was going through. And that's how I felt, like, oh my God, I really don't know. Like, are things going to get better? Like, every time things were getting better, then they weren't. And I just didn't know. And I've never really felt that in my lifetime. I imagine it was what it was like, a collective consciousness after the world wars, World War One, World War Two, where people's lives were turned upside down. And I don't compare it to that, that was horrific. And this was just something more surreal, like unexpected, like where did this come from? And nothing any of us had experienced. But I think that's exactly what I wanted. Like, I don't know. Like, either way, it'll be okay whether things get better or not. It just is, it's like life and you make it through. That's kind of how I felt with Sam at the end.
As you were saying at the beginning that you wrote this through COVID, I really felt this was a COVID script. And when he was leaving, the bar had to close because of COVID. And that's what went through my mind. And that's just a personal opinion. I'm not saying that's there. But I think that maybe you as a writer, you had that in mind. Like, this maybe is what people were experiencing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought this is exactly what's going on now. I kept thinking of, it reminded me of like Death of a Salesman, right? And we kind of shot it like that, like it was a play. And Justin, my DP, again, he like turned the lights off in the bar, and because I said I almost want it like how they shot Death of a Salesman, and you see a play and you see the silhouette lighting, and he turned the lights off, so Ian and Billy really only saw them, so each other, as if they were just sitting in the bar. And so I think that had a lot to do with what your question was. Is it was COVID, but I also wanted to make it about, there's a universal feeling that I think we all went through in COVID, that sometimes in your life, like, it's the rug gets pulled out from under you. And what do you do? I mean, it is, it's somebody's dies. It's a loss. It's something unexpected. It's a tragedy. And having said that, it was definitely about the bar closing during COVID. And I kept thinking of like, attention must be paid, and Willie's lost his balance, like the Willie Loman character, like we've all kind of lost our balance. So that's what I kept thinking about. Like, these small businesses, the place isn't just a place, there's a life and your friends and family, but people that build their dreams to these places. And I did keep seeing all these small businesses. I didn't set out to write that, but that's what came out, when I sat Ian at the bar and Billy, and we had a small business that we had to close. We decided to close it because there was no way to sustain it after COVID. And it wasn't our big money-making business, but it meant a lot to our family. And it was given to us through somebody, a close friend in our family. So that for sure just came through. But like I said, I'm a very structured writer. I always have a beginning, a middle, and an end. I know where I'm going. And I just said, I don't have no idea what this story is. And I wrote it in real time. As when I sat there, I had no idea even the ending or what it was about. I just started out with him and Billy and him going, I keep thinking things are going to get better. It was quite an experience for me too, because I just like went with it.
Okay. I am going to ruin the last shot of the film because I'm fascinated by this shot. It's not that I don't like the film. This is one of my
favorite shots.
The door to Sam's place. Is that the real door? Because I love the way it works. I love that shot. It's just perfect for the short. I don't know how to describe it any other way than perfect.
Thank you. And actually, the door on that sign is the Mint. And I have great, you know, friends and contacts. So a friend of mine is at the sign shop at Paramount. And Krista DeVarma, who's actually married to Justin, my DP, was our art. She was everything. Everybody was everything. She was set director, art designer, props. And we just had this idea of this mirroring the Mint sign. And I went and I showed them, and they made it at the sign shop at Paramount, which meant a lot to me because I have a lot of connections at Paramount. And we put it over that. And then the chairs upside down was Justin. I originally had just the pan from the bar going to the outside, and Justin and I kept saying, like I said, it's just like you're going through the wall if we're on a set. And we were thinking of all kinds of ways, and then he actually put up a black psych and panned to that, and I kept seeing those upside down chairs everywhere. I would send him pictures and I was like, this is the image of our times, because it used to be a bar was closing at the end of the night, right? And I saw them, you know, in our street, you know, outside the Yard House. They were all lined up, these chairs upside down. And he set up the shot and had me look through it, and he had put the chairs there. And he said, well, he kept saying the chairs upside down, but he did that. And then we timed the pan. I directed him when to move the camera, and everything that he did was set to the music. We had that tempo and the pacing from all the different songs I was listening to. We knew the pacing and the timing. So Justin was great. He worked, you know, every minute with me on the film from the minute I wrote it. And so he's actually executive produced it as well. He hired his own crew that he works with all the time. He actually just shot Blood Brothers, the Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X story for Netflix. So he's a beautiful cinematographer, and he actually timed the pan exactly to the music that before we even had that song. So,
well, he did a great job.
It's a beautiful shot. Yeah, I was like, Justin, thank you. He made me look good. I was like,
normally we leave with fun questions here, but you brought up something I've never heard of: the Page Awards. You mentioned earlier that you've read a bunch of scripts. If you could just give me a couple minutes so my listeners and me myself can know, what are the Page Awards exactly?
So it's the International Page Awards, a screenwriting contest that I got involved with years ago. I was in between gigs, and Kristen Overn, she started. She's an independent producer. So we're like one of the top five in, you know, in the country, in the world, whatever, for credibility for screenplay contests. And I've just always done it. And they're every category. All our writers end up getting signed with managers or agents. It's almost like the Voice of screenwriting. But it's done so well and with such integrity. And all the judges are writers and have been through it. And we have everybody. I mean, we had like top actors would submit scripts. And one of our winners wrote The Accountant and The Judge, the Robert Downey and the Ben Affleck film. They're all just great. And so we get thousands of submissions a year. So I recommend it highly to anybody. We're up there with like the Nicole Fellowship and I think Kristen, they sponsor the Stowe Story Labs. And she's just a real great supporter of, you know, writers. So there's all kind of categories too. So you can enter shorts, pilots, comedy shorts, drama shorts. There are 10 categories. So
Okay. Sorry, now no more about the Page Awards because First Glance is going to kill me, and so will you.
I didn't know it was in conflict.
Yes, I don't know if there is, but I don't want to hear about it. Fun questions. Because it's your first time on the show, everybody gets the same question first. And I did prep you ahead of time, so you had a chance. Your favorite film?
Right. Okay. My favorite film, everybody always asks, and it's like, I don't think anybody has one favorite film. So I'd be lying if I said my favorite film. I just don't. I have a favorite film that's different, like every month, depending on my mood.
I think we all do. I can give you five now. No problem.
Thank you. Because everybody asks that. I'm like, how do you have one? I'm such a cinephile. I love old movies. So I'll give you like a few in all my, I love across the board. I'll tell you, like E.T. is one of my all time favorite films. And then I love Save the Tiger was one of my favorite films that always came to mind when I wrote this, with Jack Lemmon. What like just has always stuck with me.
God, and, ever seen that film, but me and you, I don't think.
Yeah, right. And well, that's good because my feature, Sam's Place, is a little like Save the Tiger that I wrote the feature to the short 3 months after I finished the short. So I'm trying to look for money for that and get that set up. And Ian will be Sam. But, and then there's the crazy, you know, Kubrick, Clockwork Orange, you know, is ridiculous. And then I love like the old Butterfield 8, Elizabeth Taylor. Oh, I like the
Taylor. Look at you reaching.
I love the obscure films, the Splendor in the Grass, you know, and I love Black and White. And so there's one last one I'll throw in that just the favorite films I have always stuck with me is Blue with Isabella Rossellini. And,
Blue Velvet, you mean?
No, it was called Blue, and it was a series of four films, Red, White, and Blue.
I've never heard of. Good work. You found
and it was about a mood, and I love that. So, but, I mean, there's so many. I just, you know, I just love every genre and every, like, great film, you know.
Okay. Can you give me an underrated film now? Because you probably have already given away with Blue, because I've never heard of it. So I would say that's underrated if I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Oh, it's a beautiful film. And I think, too, it's just, and it's about mood. So Blue was, you know, he did a trilogy of films. So, and I think it's one of the most unknown films that was just beautiful. I don't know. I thought it was.
Okay, last question. Since your short takes place at a bar with the best selection of alcohol I think I've ever seen at a bar, what drink would you order?
My favorite drink was Rumpelmann's Peppermint Schnapps, if they still make it.
Oh, I have no idea. So, before we let you go, it's a good time to promote your website and other projects you can do that people can see right now.
Okay, so my little company is Spiral Gate Productions. So it's www.spiralgateproductions.com. And I have, you know, all my other films are on there. Shutter the Doors is on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And Instagram is just Shutter the Doors Movie. And Facebook and Twitter are Shutter the Doors.
Okay. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.